So today we choose to be thankful. You know, on Thursday, hopefully you were thankful and you stopped and reflect and thank the Lord for different things. But we should be thankful every day of our life, amen? So I'm going to skip right to the 6 points if you see them on your page there. So why we should be thankful? We choose to be thankful because it is God's will. We'll go through the verses for each one of those as we hit them. I'm thankful for who you are. We're talking about God in point number two and what you've done. Number three, we choose to be thankful despite our circumstances. Number four, we choose to be thankful and reject a critical and complaining attitude. And number five, because of the thanksgiving that's in our heart, it causes a response, and that response is for us to give our life back to God and surrender to Him. And number six, we're going to talk some about the blessings of thankfulness and the blessings that it brings into our life. So I'd like to start. I don't know if you follow history as far and read different things, but I looked up what George Washington said about Thanksgiving. I looked up what Abraham Lincoln said about Thanksgiving. And actually, President Trump had some great things as far as acknowledging thanks to God in the midst of Thanksgiving and his proclamation on Thursday, and that was pretty cool. So this is Abraham, and this is Abraham, no, this is George Washington. Where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor. And whereas both House of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Isn't this cool? They didn't believe in separation of church and state like we have been lied to and fed by today by the media. So here's George Washington saying this is going to be a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be acknowledged by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and their happiness. And so just type that in and you'll see he goes on and on of just acknowledging the greatness of God and his blessings and his providence. So our first president acknowledged the power of God in his life and the power of God in America. And so that was pretty cool. So here's a couple of verses that are in your notes there. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. And that goodness, he doesn't change. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that his love endures forever. Psalm 9 and verse 11, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. So this is President Lincoln, and you know when he was president, the Civil War was going on, and there was difficult things there. I don't always get all my history right, but in early October, he gave a speech directing all citizens to set aside the final Thursday of November as a day of prayer and rest. Then he went on to do something even more radical. He thanked God for all the blessings of that year. So he was thanking God for blessings in the midst of a very, very, very difficult time for him and for our country. He says that America had an excellent harvest and good weather that year, yielding food for soldiers and civilians alike. Despite the intensity of the war between the Union and the Confederacy, other nations had not interfered. The population had increased and farming and mining had continued to thrive. So here's Abraham Lincoln in the midst of the Civil War, the middle of unrest for our country and nations, stopping once again to acknowledge the greatness of God, his providence, and his hand in our lives. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 103. We're going to read verse 1 through 5. And I'll just quote you on your first point there. Number one, I choose to be thankful because it is your will. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, be joyful always. Amen. So that's a choice. Today you choose to be thankful. Amen. You choose to be joyful. I set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. What do you choose? You choose life. You choose blessing. You choose gratitude. You choose thankfulness. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Okay, I was an umpire and a referee for 20 years, and that's what that term is when it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That makes the final decisions. Amen? You know, the umpires, you can watch on TV, they mess it up. Even when they review it, they mess it up. But here it says, let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of God make the final decisions. And then it says, in everything, verse 18, give thanks for what? It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you to give thanks. It's the will of God for you to be thankful. This is Psalm 103 and David. David didn't always have a good life. When he wrote Psalm 34, and just keep that up there, But he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. Do you remember the situation with David there? If I have my history right, he was surrounded by the Philistines in that situation, wasn't he? Help me out. Do I got it right? And he was faking insanity because, you know what? He had already killed a whole bunch of the Philistines, and he figured that was his only safe bet, whatever, this, so that they wouldn't kill him. Amen. But he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Whatever you magnify becomes larger in your life. If you magnify the problem will become bigger. Amen. If you magnify the mountain will become bigger. We'll talk about rejecting a critical and complaining spirit, because whatever you actually complain about will become into your life. You got the choice. Amen. You're either going to be critical and complain, or you're going to be thankful, and you're going to be filled with faith. Actually, Matthew 9:29 is an amazing verse. It's according to your faith, it's going to be done to you. If you magnify with complaining, those things are going to come back to you. They're going to grow, and they're increase. If you are thankful, have an attitude of gratitude, and giving praise and honor and glory to God, your faith is going to grow. Faith is what causes God to move, amen? God moves anyway, but your faith, it can be a part of that, amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is getting our eyes onto God and off of our circumstances, amen? All right, so Psalm 103, I will praise the Lord, I will praise his holy name, and all that is within me, bless the Lord, O my soul, and I'll forget none of his benefits. Count your blessings, name them one by one, amen? So what does he do here? He forgives all my iniquities. He forgives all my sins. That should be enough to be happy for, amen? You're not going to hell. You ought to be grateful the rest of your life that you've been spared the wrath of God, and you got a place. Your name is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're spending eternity in heaven. No more pain, sickness, sorrow, death, dying, all the terrible things that are part of this earth. You're going to spend eternity in heaven if you got Jesus in your heart, amen, and you made him Lord. So don't forget his benefits. He forgave all your sins. He healed all your diseases. Amen? He took my infirmities, my sicknesses, and by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Amen? He not only went to the cross to bear my sins so that I could be forgiven, he went to the cross and his body was broken so that by the stripes of Jesus we can be healed. Amen? Heals all my diseases. He redeems he's my redeemer. I know my redeemer lives. He redeemed me from the pit. He gave me steadfast love and mercy, even when I didn't deserve it, and none of us did. He commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He died for us. You don't have to be worthy, but he is worthy, amen? Just give him the praise and the honor. He satisfies your life with good things, and your youth is renewed like the eagles. So number one, you're going to be thankful because it's the will of God. Colossians 3:15 commands you to be thankful always. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the verse I quoted, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to be a thankful person, amen? I'm going to be an appreciative person. Turn your Bibles to, and we're not going to get there for a long time, but go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts 16. Don't put that one up for a while. But point number two, I'm thankful for who you are and what you've done. And Psalm 103 just kind of said a whole bunch of those. But what has God done for us? Because of what Jesus did, we are blessed, we're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're sealed, we're loved, and we're saved. That's a pretty good combination, amen? It's really also a matter of perspective. We had a great Thanksgiving. I think it was probably the best meat I've ever eaten in my life. Deb's sister Sherry up in Somerset just did an amazing job. I think she just about made all the food that day. It was just a great time of Thanksgiving. So we spent a good amount of hours with Deb's family. Our son was there. What a blessing, and just enjoying Thanksgiving, amen? But I figured as long as we're in the Twin Cities, it's time to go to the U of M hospital. A friend who is exactly the same age as I am, he's had a really rare, serious blood disease for the last 7 years. So every single week for the last 7 years, he's had to have transfusions just to be alive. And right now he's going through a medication that 50% of the people that take the medication die from the medication. That's how serious what he's going through right now. They want to, Deb, what's the name of it again? What Jeff is taking? Yeah, well, he wants to take this so that he can get a bone marrow transplant, but his body's not healthy enough, and they had to do this. And the risk of 50% people that take this medication die from the complications from it. So we were there for 4 hours. There was five nurses and a doctor's with for at least 3 hours of that 4 hours. We were there in his room because he was having a reaction to that. And just, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. Thank God we were there. You know, just being able to pray in the Spirit first hour we were there, that's all we did is pray in tongues, just praying over him. You know, because he was having a reaction to that medication. But anyway, thank the Lord. He does heal all of our diseases. Amen. And we can look to him for that healing. And he's our Redeemer. And he had the treatment the next day, no reactions. So he finished now that part of it. Now we're just praying that medications work so he can get his bone marrow transplant. But so point number two. I'm thankful for who you are and what you've done. I just listed a whole list of things there. Psalms 103 just listed a bunch of things. You can stop and go on for a really, really long time and just begin to list the things that you can be thankful for. Point number three, you can be thankful despite your painful or pleasant circumstances. I've never, with this man that I was talking about, I've never seen anybody more passionate about Jesus. So it's pretty cool, even in the midst of it, he's rejoicing and worshiping God. So this puts things in perspective a little bit. You guys familiar with Craig Groeschel at all? Live church, anybody? Okay, Chris, you are. Jalen, you are. Okay, just type it in. So during the week sometimes I'll listen to 3, 4, or 5 sermons by some good preachers. Hopefully I learn a few things and get a little bit better at this thing as time goes on. But he was telling a story in one of the sermons that I was listening to on Thanksgiving. And I think at that time, and I don't always get all my details right, but I think he had 4 kids, and they were down in Florida on vacation, on the beach, ready to enjoy the warm weather, the ocean, being out in the sun, being with 4 kids, and just enjoying a great time. So day one, all day long, what do you think it did? Rain. Day two, all day long, what do you think it did? Day three, what do you think it did all day long? How would you like to be down in Florida paying for a nice, lovely vacation, wanting to be on the beach and out in the sun, and for the first 3 days, all it does is rain? Okay, guess what? I love it that he's humble. I love it when preachers are willing to admit, because he said, you know what I did those 3 days? I complained. I was groaning, complaining, backbiting, murmuring. I was doing it all, okay? Finally, on day 4, God had mercy and the sun came out. So the whole family, the 4 kids down there, I'm not sure if they had anybody else, but they're playing in the ocean, you know, young kids, and just being aware of it. And so all of a sudden they looked around, and the younger one is nowhere to be found. Okay? Can you imagine what your life would be like that? All of a sudden that you're at the ocean, you got your mom and dad, whatever, they're keeping an eye on all 4 kids all the time, and all of a sudden the youngest kid is nowhere to be found. So what do you think your heart would be? You wouldn't be complaining about the weather the previous 3 days of weather right now. Your heart is focusing in on your kid, that he's going to be all right and survive. And I'm not sure how long a time it was where he was actually missing, but all of a sudden, you know, there was a little hills there, and the kid had actually walked over the hill, just over the hill a little bit, dropped his pants down and had to go to the bathroom, and they see him walking back over the hill, pulling his pants up. Okay? So all he was doing was going to the bathroom, and he wanted to be proper. He didn't want to go out, whatever, everybody see him, I guess, whatever. Can you imagine, you know what? Do you think it could have rained all day that day and the rest of every day of their vacation, and he wouldn't have complained once? Because he realized something that he had could have been lost just right in front of him, you know? And sometimes it's just a matter of perspective, amen? Okay, you guys want an Ole and Lena joke? All right, you guys, what's your job when I tell a joke? No matter what, what's your job? Laugh. Man, you guys got this down. So I got some good news, I got some bad news, Ole. Your farm is right on the state line. Can you imagine this? Bad enough. I were in Minnesota, man. So we've determined that it's not Minnesota. It's actually in Iowa. Ole replied, "That's the best news I've had in a long time. I was just telling Lita that I don't think I can take another winter in Minnesota." A matter of perspective, amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we can be thankful despite our painful circumstances. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. How you guys doing this morning? So point number one, we're thankful because it's God's will. Point number two, because of what God has done and who he is. Point number three, we're on that right now. We can be thankful despite our circumstances. If you look at Paul in Philippians 4, he said, I've learned to be content. I've learned how to abound, be blessed, and have a lot, and I've learned to go without. I've learned the secret of living. I'm independent of circumstances. That's a good way to live right there, amen? So that was Paul. Actually, if you read about Paul and all the things that he went through, you know, being, how many times did he get his back whipped? Was that three times? Come on, you guys, you study your Bible three times. Thanks, Chris. All right, I'll just look your way when I need to know the right answer, all right? All right, but I mean, 39 lashes three different times, and sometimes they'd whip them so bad that you couldn't tell one mark from the other because the whole back, entire back and the flesh was torn open. Okay, you know what Paul called all those things that he was stoned, shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake, all the things that he went through, and you know what Paul called those things? Come on, you guys, what did he call them? These momentary light afflictions. They didn't sound like any light afflictions to me. I would have been complaining about all of them, amen? But that's what Paul called them. So here's the perspective, and here's what Paul did in the midst of his difficulty and suffering. It's Acts 16. The crowd joined in the attacks against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them that they be stripped. Verse 22, it is up there. All right, awesome. They were beaten with rods, so once again he's beaten. And after they were flogged, they were thrown into prison. And I think they had stocks on probably what? Both their ankles and their wrist. Is that right? Okay. So it was not a pretty picture. Okay. Not like today's prison, possibly. You know, I think they have a little bit more comfortable in today's prison. That doesn't sound so comfortable what he's talking about here. So they put him in the inner cell. Yes, in verse 24, fastened their feet in the stocks. And what is Paul's response and Silas' response in verse 25? In the midnight hour, and that represents the dark hours of our life. Guess what? You have dark hours probably every day or every week or every month of your life. Amen? You're in this world, and in this world, it's difficult. You'll have tribulation. You'll have trials. You'll have mountains. You'll have problems. You'll have demons that are going to come against you probably every day of your life. Paul did a good response for us. So in the midnight hour, the darkest time of your life, through the circumstances, we're going to follow Paulo and Silas' example. They were doing what? They were praying and singing hymns to God so loud that all the other prisoners heard them. And here's a good point. When you praise God and worship him in the midst of the storm, what happens? Suddenly there's a violent earthquake. The foundations of the prison are shaken. The doors are open, their chains came loose, and they're freed. God has freedom for us in the midst of the storm, amen? I'm going to read just a couple of the lyrics, a couple of the chorus verses of Praise You in the Storm. I'll praise you in the storm. I'll lift my hands for you, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. Every tear I've cried, you hold me in your hand. You've never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. You know, type that one in as well with all the other verses. We're going to praise him in the midst of the storm, amen? There's a storm outside. Sometimes you can praise him that now that you're older, you're a whole lot smarter when you were younger, amen? All right? You know, we were planning. You know, I went down to Madison to watch my brother's team play the Badgers on Tuesday night. And we were planning on going up Wednesday to head up north. I was possibly going to get a little hunting in on my old hunting grounds. I was, like, looking forward to that. And thank God for a wife that has a lot of wisdom, amen? And so when she says, you know what, it's going to storm, like, what, 6 to 8 inches in Siren and Amory and all those places, don't you think it would just be a better idea for us to get up Thanksgiving morning and drive up that day? Amen. You can praise him in the midst of the storm that you're smart enough to avoid the storm, amen? Amen? Because years back, I looked at it, you know, we drove back early. When did we come back? We came back Friday because they were heading for another storm. You can praise him in the midst of the storm, but you can also praise him that you can listen to God and you can avoid some of the storms. Amen? God is good. Amen? Turn to your Bibles, and you're probably not going to have this one up there. Maybe you will, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. So number four is we can reject a critical and a complaining attitude. Amen? Here's just let me read a couple quotes, I'll read a couple stories, and then we're going to read Romans 12. So repetitive complaining will attract the things that you are to complain about. You like what the bad things? If you complain about them, you're actually increasing your faith in them, and those things are going to stay around, and a good likelihood that they're probably going to increase. But repeated gratitude will attract things for you to be thankful for. That sounds good? The worst person to be around is someone who complains about everything and appreciates nothing. Amen? So we want to acknowledge. Here's a story about just appreciation and thanksgiving. A lady worked as a janitor for many years. It was about 20 to 30 years. And so sometimes being a janitor is a thankless job. Sometimes people don't thank you as much. A lot of times there's jobs that people don't thank you for. So it happened that the company changed owners. And within a few days, the new owner wrote a personal thank you card to every employee in the company. He had assistants go around and hand them out. When this lady opened and received her card, she burst into tears, and she asked if she could be excused from work for the rest of the day. So the boss is thinking that she was sick. She was allowed to leave for the rest of the day. But here's the real story. The story was that they found out a few days later that she had never even had a verbal thank you from the previous owners and management, much less a personal card. So here's a lady that was a really hard worker, a good worker, a great janitor, and a blessing to that company for 25 years, and not ever once was there a note from the bosses or management, a simple thank you. She was touched when the new owner sent her a card of appreciation. She had been thinking that during this change of ownership, this would be a good time to quit and be done with this place. She was planning to let them know the very day that she got the thank you card, which she didn't, because the little time, the little extra effort of the owner to send a little business thank you card helping the lady change her mind. Isn't that a good story? Everybody's craving for appreciation. Everybody is craving for love, amen? So let's make sure, and Deb Forsaken is amazing at this. Every Wednesday, she'll call the cooks out, you know, and we got, you know, 20 to 30 kids, and you got 10 to 15 adults, whatever, and she just says, hey, let's thank the people that have cooked here or cleaned or whatever they're doing. Just teaching the kids to be appreciative and thankful, amen? Isn't that good? All right, so we want to reject a critical and complaining attitude. What happened to the Israelites? And I guess I didn't take those notes up here, but what happened to the Israelites when they complained in the wilderness? How many died in one day? You guys remember? Come on, you guys talk to me. Was it 23,000? Just keep looking at you, Chris. Good job. All right, 23,000 died in one day. They were bitten by poisonous snakes. And what brought the poisonous snakes and the biting into their lives? Complaining, murmuring, and backbiting. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. Okay? So I want to reject a critical and complaining attitude. Amen? You know, I coach basketball. I get to coach. I guarantee I'm going to be tested with this, with 7th grade girls basketball. All right? But anyway, I used to say to my son, because I coached him and a bunch of other sports in Siren for about 10 years, but I probably said at every single practice, two things that you can control is your attitude and your effort. You're going to bust your butts if you're going to play for me. You're going to give me everything you got, every single practice, every single game. You know, I may not be the smartest coach, but I'll guarantee you I'm going to have a group of kids that are going to play the hardest of any team that they're ever going to play. No team is ever going to play harder than you guys play. Do you understand that? Two things you can control. You can control your attitude, and you can control your effort. And it's the same thing even with our Christianity, amen? Point number 5, living as a thank you gift to God. And this brings us to Romans chapter 12. So once again, point number 1, we're thankful because it is the will of God. Point number 2, we're thankful because of who God is and what he's done. Number 3, we're thankful despite our circumstances. Number 4, we're thankful and we reject a complaining attitude. And number 5, we offer thanksgiving, and actually our thanksgiving is our life in service back to God. And here's Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do you realize that you were destined for hell? The wrath of God abided in you, and you deserve to be separated from God for the rest of your life. But God, in his great mercy, sent Jesus so your sins could be atoned for, so that you could be forgiven, you could be saved, and you could spend eternity in heaven for the rest of your life. Isn't that pretty awesome? Amen? So our response of thanksgiving, because Jesus gave his life for us, we give our life back to him in his service. Matthew chapter 16, if you want to find what really life is all about and people are looking for life, it says to lose your life for my sake in the Gospels and then you'll find it. He said, actually, it's the exact opposite of what the world's trying to do. He said, if you want to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And if you want to find life, it's not found by looking to try to be happy. Amen? Happiness is not found in that way. It's happiness is found in losing your life for his sake in the Gospels. Romans 12, once again, we offer our bodies, our life, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing and acceptable to God. Let's talk about Abraham just for a minute. And this might not be in your notes. I might have added this. I usually do that as I'm reading through my notes. I think of other scriptures. But you guys help me out here. God told Abraham to go. Where did he go? Mount Moriah, was it? He's going to offer sacrifice of Isaac, who's going to be offered as a sacrifice. And he goes with a servant, and they get to the base of the mountain. And what does he say to the servant? What does he say? Come on, you guys, help me out. What's that? Stay here. He did stay here, but he said something else. He said, we will worship. We will offer thanksgiving. We will offer gratitude. We will worship, and we will return. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So our worship team, you ought to be thankful for them, amen? Because God is creating people. What is he looking for? People that are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. God actually inhabits the praises of his people. If you want to know how to get in the presence of God and get God's presence around you, he says, how do you do it? I'm sorry. You enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and you enter his courts with praise. That brings you into the presence of God and brings God's presence into you, into your circumstances. That's what we want, isn't it? Psalm 50, verse 23, whoso offers praise, gratitude, thanksgiving, whoso offers praise does what? Glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation, his worship, his gratitude, his thanksgiving aright, to him I will show the salvation of God, the deliverance of God. You know, the 10 lepers, we're not going to get into that story, but how many returned? He said, all right, go show yourself to the priest. And while they're going showing themselves to the priest, what happens? They all get healed. How many returned? One returned to give thanks. Probably about the same percentage today, amen? But what happened to the one? The nine got healed, but the one got saved. What did he say to him? This one is made whole. The word is salvation there. He got saved. Salvation came to his house. Not only did he get it healed, but his soul got made whole. And he got saved, amen? And thankfulness is a part of our deliverance. Thanksgiving is a part of God pouring out salvation in our life. Jonah, in the midst of the whale, finally got his eyes off of himself and back onto God, and he says, I will offer to you with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. What happened immediately when Jonah offered praise and glory and thanksgiving to God? The fish spit him back out, amen? Wouldn't you like after 3 days to get out of the belly of the fish? But he offered, said, all right, God, I offer my life as a sacrifice to you. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. I'll go back and preach to Nineveh. I will pay that which I vow. I will do what you ask me to do. I offer to you with a voice of thanksgiving. And immediately when he offered thanksgiving, salvation, deliverance came to his life and to his house that day. And God has the same thing for us. Amen. That's why we want to be worshipers. That's why our worship team, every one of them on the worship team, is trying to get us to draw nigh to God so that he can draw nigh to us, amen? They're trying to help us to seek God with all of our heart, because God said if we'd seek him, we'd find him if we would search for him with all of our heart, amen? So they're climbing the mountain, and, you know, what does Isaac say? He says, well, you know, where's the sacrifice? And you guys remember this one part? And what did he say? God will provide. What do you do in the midst of the storm? You say, hey, God, thank you, Lord, you're going to provide. He didn't know how. He already told the servant, I don't care if I have to sacrifice Isaac. God, if he has to raise him from the dead, God said that this through this seed, all my descendants are going to be blessed. So even if I sacrifice him and I kill him and die, God's going to raise him up again. Abraham counted God's word as faithful to him. He said, we will worship. He didn't know what the plan was, but he knew he was going to offer sacrifice. And what did God say? What did Abraham say to Isaac? The Lord will provide. Yahweh Nisi. Did I get it right? No, Jireh. Jireh, thank you. All right, I was close. All right, the Lord will provide. And when you acknowledge that the Lord will provide, you know what the Lord will do? He'll provide. That's why we spend, you know, people say, man, you guys worship a long time at that Crossroads Church. Well, I think God's worthy of every minute that we do it, amen? Because what you worship is what you follow after. Amen? When you set your affections on things above, the things of this earth become shadows in the light of Him. I love Deb's family. It was a great food and great meal. But when you don't talk about God and glorify God, you're missing out on the point of Thanksgiving. You know, sometimes, hey, I behaved myself. I didn't bring up politics because I knew how that'd go over that day. All right? I did. I restrained myself. God is good. Amen? So point number four is our response is we're going to worship and we're going to offer our lives in sacrifice to God. Point number six, last point of the day, being thankful is the path of God's blessing. You guys want to hear another story? Do I got too many stories? All right. So this is Mrs. Klein, and she's a first grade teacher, and this is right the week of Thanksgiving, and she asked all of the kids to draw a picture of what they're thankful for. So this one little kid, and he's a little bit of a troubled kid. He doesn't come home from a perfect family, and some of the situations in his life are not great. And the teacher is an absolutely amazing teacher. A lot of them are, amen. So this little picture, this little boy draws a picture of a hand. And the teacher wanted to draw out class participation. So she says, what do you think, you know, why did he draw that hand? What does that hand represent? And the kids started responding with all kinds of answers. Well, you know, one must have been a Christian. He said, well, it must be the hand of God because he provides. Well, right answer, good answer, amen. Another one said, well, it must be mom, you know, because mom's hand is always there and provides everything. Another one says, well, you know, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. Maybe it's the hand of the farmer, because maybe he's the one that raised the turkey that we're going to eat on Thursday, amen? Another one thought, man, no, that's a policeman's hand, because you know what? Different times I needed to be protected, and there's been a policeman there that's protected us, amen? So she didn't finish the conversation. She didn't ask him what actually it meant. But then when everybody was doing something else, the teacher went over there and asked Douglas, she said, what did the hand represent? And she said, let me find in my notes here. Well, it's your hand, teacher. Then Mrs. Klein, I'm going to cry here. She recalled that she had taken Douglas' hand many times. She often did that with the children, but for Douglas, she did it a lot because he was insecure and just needed somebody's hand to grab a hold of. She reflected this was her Thanksgiving and everybody's Thanksgiving, not the material things given to us, but the small ways that we can give something back to others. Isn't that a good story? Amen. So point number six, being thankful is a path of God's blessing. You guys give me a second since I didn't look at page 2 and 3 of my notes to see what else I have on that one. Being thankful, it's in your notes. Why don't you go ahead and turn your notes? It's a path to God's blessing. Gratitude can change everything. Philippians 4 says, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Gratitude and well-being go hand in hand, amen? Where there is gratitude, there is power. How do we know where there's gratitude, there's power? Well, Abraham said, we will worship, we will return. What did God do, or what did Jesus do right before he raised Lazarus? What did he do? What did he do? He offered a prayer of thanksgiving, didn't he? And he prayed it out loud so that everybody could hear him. He was offering a prayer of thanksgiving to God right before he raised Lazarus from the dead. What did he do? There is power in gratitude. There is power in thanksgiving. Amen? What did Jesus do right before he multiplied the bread and the loaves and the fishes? What did he do? He broke the bread and did what? He gave thanks. What did they feed? About 5,000, and they had all kinds of food and leftover, amen? So gratitude and well-being go hand in hand. Where there's gratitude, there's power. We saw with Paul and Silas. They were chained, they were beaten, all these different things happened, but in the midnight hour, they were offering praise and worship to God. God came down, broke the chains off them, opened the prison doors, and salvation not only comes to Paul and Silas, but they lead the jailer to the Lord, didn't they? And then didn't the whole jailer, they're praying, and not only you're going to be saved, but your whole household is going to be saved. Salvation follows thanksgiving, amen? Deliverance follows thanksgiving. Being thankful is a kingdom of God attitude and behavior that creates a supernatural ripple effect. Okay, you guys ever used to skip stones? Grew up in Winona with the Mississippi River, and we had lakes there. You guys, that was a good time. The ripple effect, well, thanksgiving creates a ripple effect. Amen? Psalm 34, again, David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Gratitude is the healthiest emotion you can ever express. He said in 3 John, "And beloved, I wish above all you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." How do you get your soul to prosper? You have your soul giving thanksgiving to God and gratitude. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you are good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, we're not just hearers of the word today, we're doers. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're not going to be just thankful on Thanksgiving. Father, we're going to be thankful every moment of every day, the rest of our lives. You are worthy of everything that we have. Amen. Lord, we know it's the will of God. Father, we knew, learned all those different points today, but we are going to be thankful. So this might even be up there. Do they have this one, Deb? The prayer of gratitude. Did they have that one? Yes, you do. If you want to read it, follow along, you can. So thank you, dear God, for your amazing power and your work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings over us. Thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times. And Father, I guarantee you there's people right now going through some very difficult and tough times. Strengthen us, Lord, right now for your purposes. Lord, we acknowledge and thank you your great love and your care in our lives. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But we thank you right now. Acknowledge your mercy and your grace in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us always and that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for your incredible sacrifice so that we could have freedom, that we could be forgiven, and that we could have life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you've given us, Lord. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh today, Lord, in every day of our lives. Renew our spirits. Fill us right now, Lord Jesus. You are the Prince of Peace, and you are the joy of the Lord, and you are our joy. So I ask right now, Lord, supernaturally, that you would fill us with your peace and your joy. I pray that you would grab us by your arms and give us a big hug right now and surround us, Lord, with your love. We love you. We need you this day and every day of our lives, and we give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.